When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
The Late Show Poncho with Stephen Colbert.
Hey, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. My next guest tonight has served in Congress for 14 years representing the state of Connecticut. Please welcome Representative Jim Himes. All right, Congressman, let's get straight to the heat of the meat. You are in the Gang of Eight, which is a term for eight leaders in Congress who get briefed on highly classified intelligence matters.
One of the scariest gangs you can be part of in this country.
Okay, too. How do you get into be the Gang of Eight? Do you have to prove that you can keep a secret? Is there a hazing process or something
like
that?
It's the leaders of the two intelligence committees and the leaders of the two chambers. So you just need to get elected and get appointed, and you're in the Gang of Eight.
Okay, so there's senators and there's congressmen
The
gang of eight.
Schumer and McConnell, the whole crew.
Okay. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how much would the biggest secret that you know blow our minds?
12.
Semi-serious here. Really? The biggest secret you know would blow our minds beyond our ability to comprehend?
The amazing thing doing what I do, and it mostly happens behind closed doors, is that you see the threats that maybe you don't see every single day.
And I don't want to see every day.
And you don't want to see, but you also see the incredible people and assets and technology that we put against those threats. So it's paid for it with your taxpayer dollars, by the way.
I do want to get to the UFOs. We've heard a lot about a couple months, we've heard a lot about the Chinese spy balloon, which evidently is not the first Chinese spy balloon, correct?
That's right.
Okay. And then these other aerial phenomena that couldn't be identified right after that. The Chinese spy balloon was recovered, and I assume we're getting a lot of good intelligence off of that.
Yeah, right off South Carolina, actually,
exactly,
by the way.
Right
shout out to
coast,
about
yeah.
South Carolina. But we got that, and you know, everything else, it got very political, right? The president should have shot it down over the Pacific. The fact is that we could watch this balloon, its capabilities, what it could do, what it could collect as it drifted across the United States was actually a huge intelligence boom for us, and now we own the thing. So, yeah, as you might imagine, there's some pretty smart people taking it apart and looking at it right now.
What about the other three things that were shot down, one over Lake Huron, one over the Yukon, one off the north coast of Alaska, none of which have been recovered? Have they really not been recovered, or would it blow our mind if we found out?
Your mind, and this is where we get to the UFOs, what would blow your mind is the amount of garbage that's drifting around up there. And an awful lot of, I'm sorry to say, an awful lot of what people think are UFOs is just garbage. Turns out, by the way, I didn't know this before we did our UFO hearing. We're supposed to call them UAPs, by the way, unidentified aerial phenomenon.
Sure.
I'm not sure why that is. But anyway, it turns out that you can explain most of the stuff that people see because just National Weather Service puts up a couple hundred balloons every single day, and they don't collect them all. So, anyway, the other three things were just, there's like a Michigan balloon weather operators club that put something up and lost it.
Sure.
So most of it is garbage, honestly.
I mean, the balloons, not Michigan.
It's
a beautiful state.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful state. There goes
the presidential run, right?
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, but what about a couple of years ago, we got all of these reports from the Navy, mostly, of pilots who were telling us that when they were doing operations off of the coast of North Carolina into a sort of military flight operations area, even at the ingress and egress points of that area, they would see these unidentified flying objects that they would pick up on radar, on infrared. They would have visual sightings of them. They would do, like, transmog speeds. They would go into the water. They would disappear over the horizon in a moment, show up on someone else's radar. What the hell is that?
Well,
and have you been briefed on that?
We have. So, and
should
and
I be worried?
It's the... Well, all right, let's get to that. So we've got the Navy in the sort of lead position looking at what these things are. Why? Because it is largely pilots that are in F-18s or F-35s over the Pacific or the Atlantic that not only see these things, you know, Uncle Joe on the porch after a couple of bourbons sees them too, but we trust the Navy pilots who are seeing these things. And by the way, they have sensors. So it's not just what they see, it's the sensors. And if a sensor picks something up, you know there's something there, right? And so here's the interesting answer to your question. If you go through the couple hundred incidents that where, you know, a pilot saw it, the sensors picked it up, we can explain almost all of it. In other words, you know, this was a weather balloon, this was another plane. I'm not a pilot, but when you're at a pilot moving at high speeds out there and there's something else coming at you from a different direction, things look strange at night and in over the ocean. We can explain almost everything, but there's still, and this came out in the hearing, there's still a few that we're just not sure about.
The sound the audience made just there, do you guys ever make that? So you're not going to tell me anything. So let's talk about last week. The Wall Street Journal reported the Department of Energy determined with, quote, low confidence that COVID was the result of a lab leak. What does low confidence mean?
Whenever one of our intelligence agencies, CIA, NSA, whoever they are, comes up with an estimate, they attach a level of confidence to it. So what happened, and it made all these headlines as though something dramatic had changed, the Department of Energy, one of more than a dozen and a half of our intelligence agencies, changed their evaluation to be slightly higher in confidence than it was before. Look, bottom line on these on this virus is that it's really hard to figure out where a virus came from if you can get all the information. The Chinese are not sharing the information with us. So I'm not sure we'll ever get to an answer here.
Now, you were in the Capitol building on January 6th, and you have said before that it felt, and I'm paraphrasing here, this felt like an ending moment for democracy, but lately you've been more hopeful about that. What's giving you most hope?
You know, I wondered, and I was one of the last guys out of the Capitol. I was up in the gallery. They separated us all out because of COVID, and so I was up in the gallery. They cleared the floor pretty quickly. There were about 7 or 8 members that were up in the gallery. They didn't know how to get us out of there. Mm-hmm. So I was one of the last guys out, and as I left, you know, this horrible, horrible moment of incredible violence, of Americans, you know, attacking their own democracy, that was a huge low point. Since then, what's happened? In the last election, the worst of the election deniers, and election denialism is at the core of what happened on January 6th. The worst of the election deniers all over the country were defeated in an election, so the American people are standing up. The media, for all of its fur and problems and everything else, is actually holding clear. We're learning about how Fox News really felt inside about the election results, despite what they were doing outside.
How did they feel? I haven't read.
Yeah, coming to a lawsuit near you, but they and the courts. So anyway, I can't tell you that I feel like, as one of the last guys out of the chamber, that we're all done. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a stat where, you know, whatever it is, 30-35% of Americans still believe Donald Trump won that election. If you believe that, you are contributing to the erosion of our democracy. And you just, and again, I don't want to be school marmish about this. You know, I represent a fairly blue area. Part of what we need to do, as much as we condemn attacks on our democracy, is we've got to try to unpack and I saw these folks up close and personal, you know, with guys in tactical gear pointing assault weapons at them. How do we understand how these are folks you'd meet in church or at Starbucks. How did they get to a place where they would break a window, attack a police officer, and try to stop a democratic process? We better get serious about understanding that. And I think part of the answer, as much as we're going to come down hard on the legal aspects of that behavior, is to try to understand where that comes from. If we don't understand it, we can't deal with it.
Well, your job requires a lot of focus. Your job requires, you deal with a lot of pressure, and one of the ways you relieve yourself of that pressure on the weekends, everybody deserves a hobby. You have an odd one, though. You have an apiary. You're a beekeeper. Why beekeeping?
It's so tempting to just say it's a lot like being in Congress, you know, but... Those bees, they are functional, they know their job, they work hard every single day, so it's nothing like being in Congress, actually. By the way, we have a little bit of a...
Oh, whatever, here.
This is Fairfield County honey from the Himes Apiary.
There you go. Yeah. Himes Apiary 2022. Get a shot of that. On the bottom it says, Biden our time.
There you go.
Everything is political.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Congressman.
Thank you,
Stephen. Lovely to talk to you. Thank you so much for this. Representative Jim Himes, everybody.
Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. The Late Show will be back from our spring break on March 27th with all new episodes. If you're enjoying The Late Show Pod Show, leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. For more exclusive Late Show content, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and subscribe to The Late Show on YouTube.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar: Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, it's Michael Costa from The Daily Show on Comedy Central. Ever wonder what happens behind the scenes or want to catch some extended interviews? Well, now you can. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition podcast, for full episodes, extended content, and a whole lot more. The Daily Show, Ears Edition, is available wherever you get your podcasts.